Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Set Free. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 12, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So as we look at the society that we live in, and as we see, I think, in an increasing manner, more and more people's lives being truly bound up in sin, we need to realize that we, meaning the church, believers, we've got the solution. And where the world might even at some point write these people off and just simply say, you know, there's nothing we can do about this, we are still able to provide a satisfactory solution. But of course, the person has to be willing to take the medicine. And the medicine is receiving Christ. And the most pathetic thing of all is to see people who are so bound up in sin and then being offered the remedy of Christ, but yet refusing it, thinking that somehow by holding on to what they're holding on to, that they're going to be okay. But of course, the fact is, they're not. So, sin enslaves. But this is what Jesus came to deal with. Jesus came to deal with the most severe cases of slavery to sin. Remember the story in the Gospels of the demonized man who was bound in chains, crying out, living in the tombs, naked, destitute, and unable to liberate himself, and nobody else could do anything for him, so he was then consigned to the cemetery. But Jesus comes, and what does he do? He sets the man free. And then we find him, we read there, seated, clothed, and in his right mind, and saying, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, no, go back to your family and show them the great things that God has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. That's the kind of thing we're talking about, though. And we see in that particular story the power of Christ to deliver from that kind of bondage to sin. So there's no one that is too bound up that Jesus can't set them free, even though they could not liberate themselves, even though somebody else would not be able to free them, Christ can and will and still does free people today. I was with a friend last week, and I've shared some stories about his life, a former criminal gang member, spent several years in prison and so forth. And so he was telling me this story about this particular person who was the head and kind of the founder of a notorious gang. And he was finally released from prison after several decades in prison. He was still as wicked as he had ever been. And his wife in the course of events, had become a Christian. And she had actually been influenced by a particular woman, an older woman. And so there came a point where this individual had an encounter with this woman that had led his wife to the Lord. And he was very angry at this woman for doing this. It kind of ruined his life to have a Christian wife. And she says, "Do you know who I am?" And he says, "Oh, yes, I know who you are. You're that woman who ruined my life," sort of a thing. And she looked at him and she said, "I know who you are too, and I'm not afraid of you. And Jesus loves you." And so, you know, her boldness really kind of took him back a little bit. You know, this is the kind of guy that you'd be afraid of. She wasn't afraid of him. She had no fear. So she began to share the gospel with him. And after about 30 minutes, she finally asked him, "Would you like to receive Christ?" And he said, "I would. I'd like to receive Christ." He became a Christian. And this guy's been walking with the Lord now for about 15 years, and just what God has done in his life and all the amazing ways that the Lord has used his testimony because of, you know, where he came from and so forth. But the whole point is this: here was a man who was completely bound up in sin, no way out, decades in prison did nothing to reform him. The moment he was on the streets, he was right back to the same activity that got him put in prison in the first place. But an encounter with an elderly woman with the gospel changed his life and gave him a new destination for eternity. That's what Christ does. That's what the gospel does. That's the power that the gospel has in it. So here in verses 8 through 11, Paul reminds us that Jesus died to sin once for all on our behalf. Listen to what he says. He says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And here's our verse: "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust." Therefore, the word takes us back to what he's previously saying. So what has he said? "Therefore, or since our old man was crucified, since we died with Christ to sin, since we are alive to God by his resurrecting power, do not let sin reign." You see, as we pointed out before, these are all truths that we need to embrace and stand upon. The Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of taking God's word, knowing what it says, believing what it says is true, and acting upon it. That's what the life of faith is. So how do I experience this liberty from sin? How do I see the power of sin broken in my life? I realize that the old man, the one through whom sin was able to control me, the old man was crucified with Christ. And that in that, we died to sin, and now we're alive just as Christ died, and he's alive because he rose from the dead. So I take those truths and I apply them to myself. This is what was true of Jesus, and this is how it applies to me. When Jesus died, the old man died. When Jesus was buried, the old man was put in the grave. When Jesus rose up, the new man rose up with him. So I'm no longer that old man. I'm now the new man. Now, notice the word that Paul uses here. It's the word reign. It's a strong word. Reign speaks of a king having authority or dominion or control over you. So he's talking about this kind of bondage that we were referring to earlier, where sin has a control on our lives. Now, when we come to Jesus, the moment we come to Jesus, that power of sin is broken. And there's a process of sanctification that begins to work in our lives. But sanctification, what we have to understand about it, and the word sanctification means becoming holy. And I think an even more understandable way to think of it is becoming like Jesus Christ. That's what the goal of sanctification is, to become more like Christ. This is a process, and it's a cooperative effort between God and us. Sanctification isn't an immediate thing, and it's not something that God alone does for us. It's something that we participate together with him in. So Paul says it in writing to the Philippians in this way: it is God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But before he said that, he said this. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you see, we've got both things there. We're called to work out our salvation, not work for our salvation, but work out our salvation. But then we're reminded of this great reality, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, but we are to work out what God has worked in. So it's this cooperative thing. So Paul is saying that here. He's saying, do not let sin reign. Do not let sin enslave you or hold you captive. You do not have to be in bondage any longer because Christ has set you free. And now you need to just step into the freedom that he has for you. Now, he says, do not let sin reign. Sin for the believer in Christ is now a matter of the will. Before we came to Christ, as I said, sin had power even over our wills. But we all know what Paul described that we read earlier in Romans 7, we all know that experience, whether it be with small things or bigger, more consequential things. We all know what it's like to not be able to do what we want to do and to end up doing what we swore we'd never do. That's the captivity that we were in. But when we came to Christ, that was broken. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jesus has set us free. But then he says this. Remember, we talked about this before. He says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, or you will keep knowing the truth, and the truth will keep setting you free. So you see, here's the thing where we're working together with God. But I want to talk for just a second about this whole idea of not letting sin reign. Some would erroneously teach that certain people do not have the power to stop sinning and therefore can't be said to be responsible for their sin. Now, I've heard this. I've heard this taught. Periodically, these different things sort of blow in and out of the churches, different doctrines and practices and theories and ideas and so forth. And some years ago, this was quite big. It was known as inner healing. And it was very much psychologically based rather than biblically based. But I remember an occasion where a well-known person who practiced this inner healing was doing some church services for a while at this one church that I was familiar with. And he was telling the people, certain people that they really weren't responsible for their actions. And I remember one particular case where there was a woman who was sort of a notoriously immoral woman in the church. And she, over and over again, kept falling into sexual sin and, you know, messing up her life and other people's lives. And she had been, you know, dealt with and so forth. But nothing really changed. And so on this occasion, this person comes into town with the inner healing ministry. And so as he gets a vision and prays over this woman, he declares that because of her background, because of a molestation and all this stuff when she was a child, that she wasn't really responsible for her behavior at this point. You couldn't really say that she had any control over this. This is just, you know, something. She was more of a victim, and this is how she was working out her victimization. And then he said this, which I found to be very interesting and I think blasphemous. He said, after pronouncing that she wasn't responsible for any of this, he said, "And we have been told that sin was a matter of the will." He said it scoffingly, like we've been getting the wrong information, because I can tell you right now, based upon my analysis of this situation, is what he was saying, that sin really isn't a matter of the will. You see, this poor woman, she doesn't want to fornicate. She doesn't want to do this, but she doesn't have any control over it. So here's a man who takes a psychological theory, essentially, and puts it in the place of a biblical truth, denies the biblical truth, and then promotes this as being the real situation. And this kind of thing still happens. So why am I telling you all that? Because we need to know what the facts are. The facts are, as God's people, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have power over sin. That's why Paul says, do not let sin reign. Because you have the ability to not let it reign. There's nothing. If you're a believer in Christ, there's no power over you that's greater than Christ. And it doesn't even matter what happened in your past. Those are the things that Jesus came to set us free from. I mean, do you think that Jesus just sets us free from like little problems? He just sets us free from minor difficulties. You know, but sometimes people treat it like that. Oh, well, you know, yeah, we could understand the Lord's taking care of you because you don't have any serious problems. But this sister over here or this brother here, you don't know what they've been through. Well, those are the very things that Jesus came to deal with. He came to deal with the most extreme situations. And the truth of the matter is, you can find plenty of people who have been through tragic experiences, who have truly been victimized, who have been abused, and all of these other things, and they will stand up and testify, Christ healed me. Jesus touched me. He delivered me. He washed those things away. He's the great physician. So we don't need to run off to the philosophers. We don't need to run off to the theorists who really don't have any power to help. In reality, they just deprive the poor person from the power that's available to deliver them. We must stand on the Word of God. The Word of God says, do not let sin reign. We have the power through Christ to say no to sin. Now, he says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. It's as though Paul is making a distinction here between us and our bodies. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. He is doing that. It's the distinction between the old man and the new man. The old man is lusting. He says it right here, that you should not obey it in its lust. The old man is lusting and desiring the things of the flesh. But when he says, do not let sin reign, he's speaking to the new man. So to the new man, Paul says this, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't surrender to the desires of the old man. Maintain your ground as the new man. This is the conflict. We live with a conflict because when we were saved, our sins were forgiven, but the old man was not completely removed from us. The old man was not completely removed. And so we end up now with this dual nature. We are now the possessors of a new nature, partakers of the divine nature, but yet we still live with that old man. But the good news is he's been put out of business. The bad news is he's always trying to get back in business. He's always looking for a fresh new start. He's always looking to get back in the game. So that's what Paul's talking about here. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let the old man get the upper hand on you again. So here it comes as we close. How do we make sure practically that we don't allow the old man to get the upper hand on us again? How do we make sure that as believers we don't end up bound up in sin again, the very thing that Jesus came to set us free from? How can we assure ourselves that we're going to go on and enjoy the liberty that Christ provided for us? And you know, like I was saying, this isn't complicated. It's not difficult. God wants us to walk in victory. He's provided for us to walk in victory. He expects us to walk in victory. So you don't have to be a super special saint to know the victory in Christ. This is for everybody. What do we do? Well, it's this simple. You neglect and starve the old man. You feed and exercise the new man. You neglect and starve the old man. You just ignore him. Neglect him. Starve him to death. Don't give him anything. Don't throw him even a bone. Nothing. Just, no, the old man gets nothing. The new man, that's where you put your focus. That's where you put your attention. You feed the new man. You exercise the new man. What do we feed the new man with? Well, we feed him on the Word of God. Every time you open your Bible and meditate in it, you're feeding the new man. Every time you make an effort to worship God, you're feeding the new man. Meditation and worship, those are ways of feeding the new man. Just putting good, godly, wholesome things into our lives. That's feeding the new man. And then exercising the new man. It's not just feeding, because you know, if you just eat but you don't exercise, you're not going to be healthy. You've got to have the combination of both things. And to make it real simple, exercise would be as simple as praying and serving God in some capacity, getting yourself involved. So as you are feeding and exercising the new man, you will know practically by experience what it means to be set free from the reign of sin. Because the way sin reigns is through the old man. But as you starve him, as you neglect him, as you ignore him, as you give him no attention, as you don't feed him in any way, but you just focus on feeding that new man, you're going to find that the victory, the freedom, that wonderful joy that God intends us to have, that's the experience that we'll walk in. So it's that simple. Feed and exercise the new man, and you'll know what it means to to really be set free.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the Book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Old Man and the New. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Set Free. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0131. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.